There is something in created reality that is conflictual. It wants to join and be attracted to each other, and yet at the same time it wants to be apart. So for example, molecules and particles have a tendency to attract, and yet at the same time cells divide and become new cells. And so there's an outward and an inward, a particularity and a universality that's happening at the same time. Everything emanates out from God in creation and distances itself. It just gets farther and farther, and the cosmos is just so vast it's beyond our comprehension. So the distance is great, and yet it all is held together by God's love nonetheless. So there's disunion and union at the same time. And we see that conflict in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, the Jews experienced their relationship with God as very particular. They felt that they were chosen by God. They were the elect. Out of all the race, the human race, they were the chosen ones. And yet at the same time, the prophets from time to time, like we hear from Isaiah today, reminded them that God's universal love transcends Israel. It's beyond that. And so he says, my house needs to be a house of prayer for all people, not just the Jews. And that was not practiced all that much, but that universal message was tweaked in there every now and then by the prophets. And then Jesus, the incarnation of the second person of the Trinity, God in human flesh, takes on the particularity of one person in the first century in Palestine, taking on the limitations that is in the human flesh. And in the particularity of Jesus, he's very Jewish. He's steeped in understanding of the Old Testament scriptures. He understands all the things that the Pharisees and the scribes are saying to him. He doesn't always agree with everything, but he understands it. He's Jewish. And because of that, he experiences that special election by the Jews. And so we see something that to us today sounds kind of scandalous. Jesus refuses to heal this woman's daughter because she's not Jewish. And so he says, my mission is to the house of Israel only. And yet in the particularity, in the humanness of Jesus, he allows this woman to teach him something, to stretch him beyond his former notion of the particularity of God's love. And so, but in other places in the New Testament, we see Jesus very open to the Gentiles, very open beyond Israel, beyond the Jews. But in some instances like this, we see a particularity that almost seems jarring to us. Both are true. We experience God's salvation by being Christian, by being baptized into Jesus, into the eternal Christ. And that has a certain particularity about it that we often call Jesus, Jesus the Christ. But there's the universal Christ that was always there long before Jesus and transcends all races and languages and peoples and times and places. And that's the risen Lord that we experience. And the risen and ascended Lord is not so particularized that he's limited to that one man. It's available to everyone at all times. And so in our Mass here this morning in Manhattan, Kansas, in this building, at this altar, we are celebrating the very particularity of Christ's presence in our midst. And yet at the same time, this is the Last Supper. This is Calvary. This is the realized kingdom of the future. Time collapses in the celebration of the liturgy. And so we are celebrating the memory of what has gone before. We recognize that the particularity of this Mass is somehow universally connected to all the Masses throughout the world. and all the masses that have ever existed in the last 2100 years, and all the masses that are going to exist until the end. And in fact, it's connected to the realized kingdom, and so this is the heavenly banquet that we are experiencing as a foretaste. We live in such a particularity, such an experience of union and division, that it makes it difficult for us to realize this universality. And so hard for us to stretch beyond what we experience socially, politically, religiously. We experience certain uniting influences in the human race. So there was a desire to create a United Nations, and there was a desire some years ago to create a European Union. And the United States, we experienced something that the rest of the world has never known, and that is, over this vast area, the particularity of 50 different states, and yet somehow in union with all of them. So we in America kind of get this. You know, we can understand how particularity and universality can somehow coincide peacefully. But it's always a conflict still. It's always something that's difficult for us to wrap our minds around. If we say that God exists beyond the Christian communion, if we say that God sometimes operates outside of our systems, then the question comes, why are we Christian? Why are we Catholic? If it doesn't seem to make any difference, why are we here this morning? For me, the answer to that is for service. You know, we're not here to get saved. That happened at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Most of us here were baptized many years ago. We're already saved. But in the same way that Israel saw itself as an instrument of salvation for the Gentiles, that somehow the salvation of the Gentiles was going to come through them, we experience the Catholic Church as being an agent of salvation, cooperating with the mission of Christ, that the mission of Christ is somehow lived out in his body, the church, and that we exist not just for ourselves, but for the rest. And so in every Eucharistic prayer at the Mass, there's always that prayer for the salvation of the world. The presumption is that we are giving thanks, Eucharist, we are giving thanks for our salvation, but we have the grace that comes from God, of course, the grace to realize that that isn't just where it stops. The church is always missionary. It's always reaching out. It's always trying to save the rest. It's always praying for the rest. And so the answer to why are we Catholic, why are we Christian, isn't to get saved. It's to share in the ministry of Christ's salvation. The salvific ministry of Christ somehow involves us. We are agents of that. And so out of gratitude for our own salvation and out of a sense of mission, we pray for the rest.